I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We hit the Great Midwest Bank hotline. Talk to Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Talk baseball and some sabermetrics. Mark, appreciate the time as always, my man.
Hi, how are you?
Good, dude. And the Milwaukee Brewers, not great as they go out to the West Coast and take on Mike Trout and the LA Angels. Obviously, Trout leaves last night. But we talk about Lorenzo Cain's defensive metrics out in center field. But I've been trying to advocate for people to stay up and watch these games so you can see Mike Trout play. And defensively, he shows off still why he's one of the best players in all baseball and why his wins above replacement, which is a cool stat that I like that is not as nerdy as some are, why he's consistently one of the most feasible and the best players in baseball because he's worth the most wins.
Yes, without question. He's one of the... He's this generation's Willie Mays or Mickey Mantle. He makes great catches to rob home runs. He hits home runs. He hits for a high average, and he draws a ton of walks. He has as good an eye as just about anyone in the game. The problem with pitching to him is he has virtually no weaknesses. The best thing that you can hope for with him is kind of what might happen today if he doesn't play.
We always try to learn a new stat or a new metric here on this show every week when we have you on, Mark. Let's talk about defensive runs saved and how you figure that out, which is perfect coming off the Mike Trout conversation.
Yeah, and we've kind of brought it up on this show before, but it's the idea of trying to figure out the completeness of a defensive player. Is he good at getting to balls hit in the hole, hit up the middle, going back on balls, coming in on balls? Throwing guys out, deterring base runners if he's a catcher who's trying to prevent guys trying to steal. Mm-hmm. We can put a value on pitch blocks. Is Yasmani Grandal keeping the pitches that are in the dirt in front of him, or are they going to the backstop? It's one thing to just look at, okay, he's given up a lot of wild pitches and pass balls, but how many opportunities has he had? We keep track of that. We watch every game. It takes us many, many hours to go through every game and put all the details together. But in the end, we can tell you something like Lorenzo's the best in center field. And I think I said it right before he made his home run robbing catch, that Lorenzo is the best at going back on a ball.
Look at you bragging. Look at you. Look at you.
I have to. Come on. About this team that's 8-4.
You know what? I actually gave you a lot of credit on my Twitter. I think it was a week or two ago when I was talking about Arcia. And it was a ball hit right over the second base, and his range was amazing. He threw the guy out, and it made me, you know, I said, Mark, this is what he was talking about. But this is amazing. But for a football guy, can you help me with some numbers? Because, you know, people see batting average and all that, but the OPS stuff, I mean – because that number is this.
What does OPS mean?
On base percentage, all these numbers and stuff. Is that? Can you explain that to a guy that don't know anything about OPS and all this? What is all that?
All right, all right, guys. OPS is not that complicated, and it's good for someone who doesn't know to ask a question like that. It's simply how often do you get on base and how much do you slug. So if you're good at both of those, you're going to be a guy that's going to have an OPS that's in the 900s or 1,000. Those are your premier players. Those are Ryan Braun when he's an MVP. Those are a high-end power hitter like Aguilar when he's going good. If you see those guys have 900s or 1,000s, that's pretty good. The next tier is going to be your 800 guys. Your 800 guys are, I guess, going to be guys like Braun now. Braun now versus Braun then. He's in the 800s. That's perfectly fine. You want guys that can both get on base well and hit for power well. He's still able to do that at a pretty good level. Your Orlando Arcias can range. They can be in the 600s, which isn't too great, or they can be in the 7s. And if they're in the 7s, I think you say, I'll take that so long as he's being a good defender.
And it's funny because that's what they put up at Miller Park. So when you see the lineup up, you don't see batting average. You see OPS. Yep. So you have people in the stands in Miller Park going, I didn't know you could hit 900. So what happens is you have a bunch of confused Brewer fans that don't know what the stat means, and you're just like, okay, I don't know what that means. I'll just move on with the rest of my day. And
there are simple scales for this. Think, again, 1,000 is Yelich. 900 is Yelich, maybe a level down. 800-something is Braun now, Aguilar now, ideally. 600, 700-something's Arcia. So just think of it that way.
Talking with Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions here on the Wendy's Big Show. Mark, also wanted to get into this one stat that everybody, my entire family and all my friends have been yelling at me for is WRC+. Can you explain what that means?
Oh, my goodness.
if we're starting with OBP and slugging percentage, WRC+ is kind of like graduate level stuff. So we're kind of moving up the chain here. But it's a similar idea to OPS, except the easiest way to think of it is in a lot of worlds, we think a single is worth one base, a double is worth two bases, a triple is worth three bases, and a home run is worth four bases. They don't necessarily think of it that way. They think of it in terms of how much is a single contributing to a run, how much is a double contributing to a run, triple, home run, same kind of idea. So a double isn't necessarily worth twice as much as a single, and that's taken into account for something like WRC+. Now, all right, think of it this way. It's essentially establishing the total value of a hitter on base and slugging, independent of is he getting clutch, is he doing things in big spots. It's just it's on base and slugging in a different formula. And for something like that, okay, 100 is average, 120 is pretty good, 160 is Trout and Yelich and guys that are elite. Just think the higher the number, the better. And if you see a guy in the 60s or 70s, he's not a good hitter.
This is just awesome.
Easiest way that I've ever heard it explained to
me. That's why we got him on.
Right, because I'm always seeing like the number. I'm like,
I told him, when we got him, just act like we know absolutely nothing because we don't. And just explain
I got to act like
it. As simple as possible.
Just do it. Yeah.
Thank you for not making fun of me for Orlando Arcia starting 1-for-20 and me saying that he could hit a little.
No, that's not what I'm gonna. That's not what I'm gonna bring up. I wasn't gonna bring it up, but I feel like I'm starting to question this Grandal thing. Now I know before you and I we've had conversations about framing and defense and on pass ball. Oh, okay, fine. This is where my concern is starting to become. My concern is starting to become that maybe that, you know, the way he called games in L.A. probably isn't necessarily going to be the same way that you call games in a bandbox where balls fly out everywhere. And last night's another example. He caught Peralta his first time and Peralta got destroyed. So then they give Manny Pena to Peralta the next time and Peralta looks like a machine. Back to Grandal we go again. Last night he gives up 6 in the first. About the third or fourth inning last night, Bill Schroeder on Fox Sports Wisconsin starts talking about where Peralta struggles. And where Peralta struggles is down in the zone because, as Schroeder points out, it gives the batter more time to adjust to what's coming. When he starts throwing stuff higher in the zone, that's where hitters tend to have a problem. And you're watching hit after hit, and there is Grandal setting up low. After the first inning, they changed it. He started working up high, and all of a sudden things settled down, and Peralta was better. And some of that has to be chemistry and learning the pitcher and so forth right now, but it's just a little frustrating.
That you got to give it time. Again, you're 8-4. You're 8-4 and you're just picking on Yasmani Grandal, who caught Kershaw for like several years, and you never heard Kershaw say anything bad about him, and who has caught many good pitchers, Rich Hill, Ryu, a number of the other Dodger guys, Kenley. Certainly.
But it was at that huge ballpark, which is different than what he's got here. There you can make a mistake and get away with it more than you can at Miller Park.
And he's got to learn that, and he's got to figure that out. And maybe what will happen is Peralta and Pena will become his personal catcher.
That's what I'm hoping
for.
That
sort of thing happens. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you talk about the idea of Uzi, and you really can see that everyone says, oh, he's great. And fantastic and everything. But if you really want to see the value of Buster Posey, look at each pitcher on the Giants, their ERA with him and their ERA with anybody else. Every single year, it doesn't matter if it's Eric doesn't matter who it is, he's always way better.
Yep.
And he builds these reputations with guys, and that's why guys really like pitching to him. And ideally, you would think that a lot of guys like pitching to Grandal because he gets some extra strikes. And over 162 games, not 10, not 12, he's going to be all right.
You and I are going to talk about Grandal all year, I think. The other thing that I'm
glad he's going to talk to somebody else about it, too.
Correct, because right now, Billy's my target. But the other thing about it is Aguilar is also frustrating me. And Aguilar is a guy that I'm a big fan of. Huge fan of Aguilar. I thought he should have been the starting first baseman from the jump last year, and Thames eventually lost it. Aguilar got it and ran away. But what happened in the second half was everybody says, well, he got tired. And he very well may have gotten tired. But the other thing that happened was he moved away from the plate in his stance and moved back farther away in the batter's box, which in my opinion made him susceptible now to the outside pitch. And once again, to start the year, he's still way back in the batter's box again. And I think part of it was because he was struggling with the inside pitch. So he moved back, but as soon as he moved away from the plate, he's just not been the same hitter anymore. And seemingly the power numbers, everything has gone away.
Yeah, so I'm not necessarily the guy who can examine swings really in depth. And I guess I'll try and avoid that here. I will say that he's had a couple of balls that he's hit pretty well that didn't go for hits. I actually just watched like 10 at-bats before I got on the phone with you because I had to do my homework. And he had a ball down the line against the Cardinals. He had a couple of balls in the gap that were hit pretty well. He had a couple that looked like he just got under. We have a stat where we can determine whether a ball is soft, medium, or hard hit, depending on where it's hit and the total velocity, not just the exit velocity of the ball. And normally, a guy hits like 500 on his hard hits. He's 1-for-11. So that leads me to think that there's something better coming for him.
What about Travis Shaw? That's another guy that's struggling.
So I'm not as worried about him because of the walks. And that tells me that the eye is all right. He's got like 8 walks in 12 games, I think it is.
Yep.
So I wouldn't necessarily be too concerned with him at this point. I think the only reason that you guys are concerned is because it's the first 12 games of the season. If he did this in, like, the middle of the season, he'd just be like, oh, okay, typical flop.
Well, people got concerned about Travis Shaw last year, too, though. Even though his power numbers and everything else looked good, that average wasn't, and fans were freaking out a little bit.
Did he have, hot, like, a lot of fluctuations where he'd get red hot, red cold, and ice cold?
Little back and forth, but the average was just a little bit down from Shaw. The first year we saw him, he was right around 275. And last year, all the power numbers were still in the 30s for home runs. I think he was down to like 254, something like that.
That's like a hit a week.
Yeah, that's really all it is. You're right.
Right.
Yeah, it's true.
Absolutely.
See?
Over the course of a season. Yeah.
I'm glad we have somebody to calm us down.
That's why
because,
he's here.
Because when you win all these series in a row, Mark, and then you lose to the LA Angels, an uncommon opponent, who really, they have a pretty nice lineup when you keep looking through this. I get that a lot of their all-stars are aging outside of Mike Trout, and it's weird to see Albert Pujols still playing baseball. But they're a fun team to watch, too, and a difficult one. The Brewers are going to have another difficult one out in LA against the Dodgers coming up this weekend.
Yeah, it's a good test to have a nice early road trip and get a chance to see the Dodgers. The Angels, the pitching's not necessarily that great. I think you saw that with Matt Harvey yesterday. But that AL West, like someone's probably going to win 85-86 from there, and I think it's just as likely that it'd be them as it would be Oakland.
Mark, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week, Wednesday, 3:48, right here on The Big Show.
Can I plug the book one more time?
I'd love for you too.
Yep.
All right. Our sleeper for this week is Nick Needham. If you're looking for a quarterback to the NFL draft, we have him ranked 4th among defensive backs out of 26. High-level athlete, physical competitor from UTEP, versatile skill set allows him to play in multiple alignments. Best protects as a solid starter in base who moves inside to the slot in nickel, where his change of direction skills and quick transitions as well as his run support can be put on display. Look out for him. We have him higher than a lot of other places.
I love it.
Love
good
it.
Stuff. They
good
do the
stuff,
NFL
man.
Draft too, man. Stay on it. Just stay on top of it.
Sports Info Solutions. Appreciate it, man.
You got it.
That's Mark Simon.
That book is amazing.
Sports Info Solutions.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.